Let's go to our Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 3. We stand at the brink of another year. A lot of opportunities ahead of us to serve the Lord, to live for Him. So tonight I want to talk about looking forward and see what God has for us. Philippians chapter 3, I want to read the whole chapter. I know it's 21 verses, but I think it's important to see the whole context here. Philippians chapter 3, it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, and to me is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have me have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We've come to the end of another year. There have been many changes in our lives this year, many events that took place. Usually as we come to the end of a year, we reflect back and we're able to remember some of the major events that happened throughout the year. Some of the minor events that happened have kind of been lost in our memory. Some of the things that have taken place have been positive. Some have been negative. We like to remember the positive things. We like to kind of just set aside the things that have been negative. But nonetheless, we are not the same as we were 365 days ago. Can you remember what you were doing a year ago? Can you think back of all the things that happened? We're going to look tonight at what we can do looking forward and how the past will help us, but not allow it to bind us to moving forward. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll look at that this evening. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word together, to open your word individually, and to study it, to understand more about you, more about how we need to live for you, more about opportunities to serve you. Father, help us tonight as we look at the opportunities ahead that you have for us. Help us to determine in our minds, to commit in our hearts to living for you with the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you for what you will teach us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage, Paul is speaking of his past achievements. He's talking about his credentials, but he moves on to writing about what his goals are, what he's looking forward to, his things that he wants to accomplish in his life. And he gives the reasons for those goals as you read through that part of the chapter. And I believe it's good for us to take some time briefly to consider the past, not because we want to bemoan what's happened or what we haven't been able to accomplish, but to be able to look at that and say, okay, based on that, I want to set some goals going forward. And then not only set some goals, but understand why am I setting these goals and understand some reasons for those. And so the first thing I want to look at tonight is looking at the past. Many people measure themselves by their heritage, their upbringing, their social status, their past accomplishments. And Paul will look back on his past, and you know, he came up with quite a list. If you look at verses 5 through 8, or 5 and 6, he says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. If anyone had something to glory in, it was the Apostle Paul. He said, look at what I've done. Look at where I've been. Look at my heritage. Look at all that I've accomplished. He followed the Jewish law to the letter. He was a religious leader of his day, and he because of that, because of what he did for his religious group, he was successful as they defined success. And that religion prospered him. But look at how he looked back at those things. Look at how he viewed those things in verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I kind of lost for Christ. He says, as I look back at those things, as I look back at, wow, look at all that I've accomplished this year. Look at all that I've done for myself. He says, if I look back on those things, it's like, they're of no value. There's no value to things when all I'm doing it is for myself. He says, those I counted lost for Christ. Why is that? Why is it those things meant nothing to Paul? Because now at this time, when he's writing this epistle, his focus had changed. His focus for Christ had changed. His zeal had changed. He was no longer as zealous for pursuing his own things or making himself successful. Now he was zealous for the cause of Christ and for sharing the gospel. Now, is it wrong for us to consider the past? No, I don't believe so, because what is the Bible? The Bible is a historical record of God's working in the lives of men and women. It's a work of God in creation, all for God to bring man to the point where he sees his need for a Savior, he sees his sin, he sees that he needs to turn to Christ, and then once he comes to Christ, he can then grow in his relationship with God. And you go through the Bible from Genesis all the way through the end, and it's God working. And that's history. That's what God has done. And it's provide a help to us. The Bible is a record of the past. If you look at Romans 15, verse 4, we can see one of the purposes that God allows all those things to be recorded. Romans 15, verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Paul's talking about here about the Hebrew, the children of Israel, and the things that they went through and the things that God did in their nation. And in verse 11, he says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So we learn from the past. We learn what we should be. We learn what we should do or not do based on we see what happened when some men made choices and the consequences of those choices. We can learn from those things. We can learn from our own experiences. And it's helpful to learn from the past. And as we look at the past and we understand what has taken place, it helps us to establish goals for the future. For example, are there negative things in my life that are there because of bad habits I have allowed to develop? Are those things what's going on in my life now because of choices I've made before? Am I holding on to things of the past for my security of my reputation or my position or recognition? Are there things that I've done in the past that have contributed to spiritual growth in my life? If so, what am I doing and how can I continue those things? It's helpful for us to evaluate our lives based on the past. And this past helps us to have a benchmark. Say, this is where I'm at today, but let's go from here. Let's move forward from here. We can see where we have been and determine where we want to be. Think of life like a war. And that's how the Bible describes it. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at some of the terms that are used to describe our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, been in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Does that sound like an entertainment? No. That sounds like a battle. It sounds like the war that we fight in life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Look also one more, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Says, we wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Life is not a playground. Life is not moving from one enjoyable thing to another, and we end up with empty results. Life is a war with numerous spiritual battles that we must fight, and many of them have long-term consequences. And so we have to look at that and say, okay, this is a war that I'm in. This is a war that I'm going to fight, and we have to look forward. How am I going to fight this war? How am I going to go forward? How am I going to look at the things of the past and say, okay, I don't want to do that again. Or that was a good decision in my life. Let's continue that. Let's grow in that and allow those things to teach us. Second thing, not only looking at the past, but setting goals for the future. Why is it important to set goals? Well, to know where we're going. If you decided to go on a trip, but you didn't sit down first and plan your route, plan your stops, plan your expenses, you would end up back home with a lot less money and a lot of time wasted. Can you imagine? I've got 2 weeks of vacation. I'm just going to get in my car and drive. What a foolish thing. Have some goals. Have things you're going to do. It's been said that if you aim at nothing, you will be sure to hit it every time. And that's so true. We have to know what our goals are. Goals give us a higher point to aim at. I remember when we were in Helena, and in Helena itself, there was a mountain called Mount Helena. And it wasn't as big as the other mountains around, but it was definitely a good climb. And so a couple of times we went as a family to go to the top of Mount Helena, because from that point you could see the whole valley. But as we made we started at the parking lot at the bottom, and you look up and you can see the top. And our goal was to reach the top without collapsing. And so we make our way up the mountain, and the way that trail was, it kind of winded its way around part of the mountain. And as you went up, you could kind of still get a view of the top. That was our goal, to get to the top. And thankfully, we made it each time we went out there. Not always in the best condition when we got to the top, but we made it. But we had a goal. It was a higher goal. It was a goal that we'd chose to make. And this thought came to me too. Most people don't set lower goals. An executive in a company won't say, well, I hope by the end of the year I can file for bankruptcy. They don't do that. A marathon runner, he's getting ready to run a 26-mile race. Well, I hope I can make it 2 miles this time. No. His goal is to finish the race. We don't set lower goals for ourselves. Our goals should be realistic, but they should stretch us beyond where we are. Paul set some goals for himself. Look at verses 8 through 11, the goals that Paul set. He says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." Paul had a goal to be excellent for Christ, to grow in his knowledge of Christ, and to do things the best he could for Christ. He also says in the end of that verse, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." What does that mean, to win Christ? In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, let me read that for you. Luke 9, 23 and 24. Jesus said, "And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." I believe Paul was following that. I believe Paul, that was his goal. He was going to lose his own life, lose his own pursuits, in order to win Christ, in order to pursue Christ, in order to make Christ prominent, preeminent in his life. And then he goes on here and he says in verse 9, "Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Paul wasn't concerned anymore about his righteousness. Now, before he was saved, that was all he was about. It was all about him. He said, "Look at me. I'm a Pharisee. I'm the leader of my group. I'm going out and I'm doing good things for my group." That was all about him, but now it's about the righteousness of Christ, doing things because it's right, because Christ would have him to do those things. And then he says in verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." That's Paul's desire. He says, "I want to know Christ." You say, but Paul was so, he knew Christ so well, but yet he wanted to know him more. He wanted to grow in that knowledge. He wanted to understand God more and grow in his relationship with God. He wanted to understand the power of the resurrection. You know, I don't believe we completely comprehend all that Christ accomplished in the resurrection. He accomplished so much in that short period of time of his death, burial, and resurrection. And we have so much that we can understand by reading his word and by saying, "God, teach me. Show me the power of your resurrection." And Paul wanted to understand that even more. And then he says in the end of that verse, "being made conformable unto his death." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, it says, Paul says, "always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Paul wanted to understand all that it meant that Christ, when he died on the cross. Paul wanted to understand that, how he wanted to be able to identify with Christ in his suffering. See, Paul had to suffer some things. Paul had to deal with some difficulties in his ministry, but it was something he did willingly. He recognized the suffering that Christ went through, and for him, it was not a problem to go through those sufferings himself. When we consider all that Christ did in dying for us, how can we do any less than live a life for him? And Paul says, that's all I want to do, is because he died for me, because he suffered for me, because he rose again for me, I want to live my life for him. And then he says in verse 11, "if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." Now, Paul knew that people were going to die and then they were going to rise again in eternity. Paul knew that it wasn't that he wanted to rise again. He wanted to rise with the saints. He wanted to appear with the saints. He wanted to appear, as it says in Revelation chapter 5, 12 through 13. He wanted to stand with those believers who stood and praised God, who praised Christ, said, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." He didn't want to stand before Christ, have his head hung low and say, "I'm sorry, I didn't serve you like I should. I'm sorry I didn't use what you gave me as a steward should." He wanted to stand and praise God and give praise to him for who he was. This quote says, "It was this which Paul sought, this for which he strove, this that was so bright an object in his eye that it was to be secured at any sacrifice, to rise with the saints, to enter with them into the blessedness of the heavenly inheritance, was an object that the apostle thought was worth every effort which could be made. The doctrine of the resurrection was, in his view, that which distinguished the true religion, which made it of such inestimable value. Paul sought the resurrection of the dead. He wanted to be with those who stood praising God, and his life would be a praise to God. But in all those goals that Paul set, what do we see? We don't see anything in those goals about, well, I hope I can increase my financial wealth this year. He didn't say, well, I hope I reach a particular position in my corporation this year. He didn't say, well, maybe I can cross some things off my bucket list this year. That wasn't what it was. Everything that Paul did, all of his goals were spiritual goals. All of them had to do with his walk with God. Why is that so significant? Because our focus affects every area of our life. Let me explain. If my focus is on my personal achievement, then everything that I do will be for improving my financial status, my material assets, my popularity. It'll affect my relationships. It'll affect my choices. It'll affect my walk with God. If all that I do is focused on me, it's going to affect all my relationships and it can affect my walk with Him. If my focus is on entertainment, then everything that I do will be to satisfy my fleshly appetites. And that'll bring me emptiness. Always wanting something bigger, always wanting something with more amazement, always something to awe me more. But that'll also affect my relationships and my walk with God, if those even exist. But if my focus is on growing in Christ, everything that I do will become what Christ desires for me to be. And that is going to positively affect my relationship with God and with others. So our focus affects every area of our life. Every decision that we make, we have to have a focus. Paul also acknowledges, as he declares his spiritual goals, that he has not reached them yet. Look at verse 12. He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Paul realized he hadn't accomplished what he wanted to accomplish for Christ yet, but he wasn't willing to allow his past to keep him from moving in the right direction. Sometimes we may be tempted to say, well, I've failed, so I'm just going to give up. There's no use trying to do anything different. It'd be like saying, well, I've dug a hole and I can't get out of it. It'd be better to say, I've dug a hole and now I got to figure out how I'm going to get out of it, rather than giving up. Think of all the practical things that we would not have if Thomas Edison would have said, I'm not doing it anymore. Think about if the pilgrims had said, well, this is too hard. I'm just going to just bow to the British government. I'm just going to just bow to this oppression from the government, from those that want to oppress our religion. It's just too hard to stand. What if they would have done that? What if our founding fathers said, I don't want to fight the battles with this other country anymore. I don't want to stand for truth. I don't want to stand for what's right anymore. Just throw the Constitution, throw the Declaration of Independence away. I'm done. What would our country be like? When you look to the west about several thousand miles across the Bering Strait, you see what our country would be like. Think about the sacrifices that have been made. People have said, I'm not going to give up. But our spiritual decisions are even more important. What if Christ, when he came to this earth and is born as a baby, he grew up to be a young man, and it says even his own brothers didn't believe him. He would have said, I'm going back to my father. What would he have done if he hadn't gone to the cross? Where would we be if he hadn't died for our sin? If he hadn't risen again? We'd be without hope. He had a goal that his father had given him, and he went to establish that. He went and followed that goal, and he followed it obediently. We need to set spiritual goals. Someone has said that every decision that we make is spiritual because it affects our focus and our walk with God. David, can you go to my desk and get those papers that are on my desk, please? I want to hand out a paper to you, and I meant to have them out by the back door. I just forgot to get them out there. But I want to hand something out to you, and I want to encourage you to set some personal goals for 2024. And these aren't goals that New Year's resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pull myself up on my bootstraps, and I'm going to do these things. And 2 weeks later, you say, I don't remember what it was. But I want you to take these pieces of paper. If there's more, I can get more copy off more. But I want you to take these and say, God, with your help, God, with your strength, with your guidance, these are things I believe you would have me to accomplish this year. And I'm not expecting you to fill these out immediately. Take them home, pray about them, spend some time this week praying about goals that God would have you to set. And I've given you some categories, and you may have other categories of goals you want to set. But let me just give you some examples. In your Christian walk, maybe you want to set some goals for your Bible reading this year. Maybe you want to set some goals for passages you want to memorize this year. And I also include in there your church attendance. You say, why would you include church attendance on your Christian walk? Because being part of a local church is part of your Christian walk. And in your church, maybe you say, I want to be faithful to church. Maybe I want to be here in more services if I can be. Maybe you say, well, I want to get involved in more of the activities of the church this year. Maybe I want to serve in different ways. I want to, when an opportunity comes up, I want to help out. Set some goals for yourself this year in those things. And again, I don't want to tell you what to do. Allow God to direct you what you should do. How about in your personal life? You may say, I want to develop discipline in a specific area of my life. Maybe it's exercise. Maybe it's in your diet. Maybe it's a daily and something else in your life. You say, I want to develop a personal discipline. Maybe you say, well, I want to develop a skill in my life. You say, but I'm 75 years old. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You want to bet? I bet they can. I bet you can learn something new this year. My dad, something he always told me, he said, don't be afraid to learn things new. Learn new things. He said, don't be afraid to learn new things. And he kept learning. My dad was 75 years old when he passed away. But up until just the last few years, he was learning new things. You can develop new skills. You can develop new things. How about in your home? Maybe you say, I want to see the relationships with my family improve. I want to communicate better. I want to respond better. Maybe you say, I want to serve my family more. I want to be more of a servant, have a servant spirit toward my family. Maybe it's a practical thing. Maybe you say, well, I want to organize this area of my home this year. Maybe I want to get rid of this junk this year. Maybe I want to see my home more orderly this year. Maybe there's things, and every one of us has those closets. Maybe I want to do something in my home to make it more orderly this year. How about in your work? You may say, one of the things I do, I want to be more excellent. I want to aim high in my goals for my work. I want to edify those I work with or those I'm serving with. I want to encourage them. And then in your community, you say, I want to minister more to my neighbors this year. I want to get to know people in my community. I got to meet a man in our community yesterday. He was walking around. He walks around and takes pictures. And he came and showed up at our front step. He was taking a picture of something on our front porch. And so I got to go out and talk to him a little bit. But my goal is, not myself, is to reach out and meet more people in our community and meet people in this community and see how we as a church can reach people in our community. But how about witnessing? Maybe that's another where we can influence the Lord or influence our community for Christ. How can I be a better witness for Christ this year? So we set goals for ourselves in these areas. And like I said, you may have other areas you want to set goals. But pray about these things. And then take this. And the reason I put it on a half sheet is because you can take it, you can fold it, and you can use it as a marker when you're reading your Bible. And every once in a while, you open it up and say, God, help me to do these things. God, and review it. How am I doing? And ask God to help you with those goals that He has helped you to set at the beginning of the year. And as you go through the year, review those things. At the end of the year, as you go through the year, you can say, this is what God is allowing me to do. This is what God is, how God is using me. This is the opportunity God has given me. And you have testimony of God working in your lives as you set goals, as you see God accomplish those things in your lives. And so it's important for us to look at the past. It's important for us to set goals. But it's important for us to know the reasons for setting those goals. And the first thing I want us to understand why we set goals is because the rewards are eternal. Look with me at Matthew chapter 6. Why is it important to set spiritual goals? Because the rewards are eternal. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Jesus says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. We want to strive for the rewards that are eternal. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And then Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Those things that we do to satisfy ourselves are going to only last for a season. You look at Solomon, he had anything and everything he ever wanted. You know, what did he say at the end of his life? It's all his vanity. It was empty. There was no value in it because it was all gone. We need to pursue those eternal rewards, and everything that we do for Christ will have eternal rewards. But also, the reason we set spiritual goals is because we have an example. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, and it just got through talking in Hebrews chapter 11 about all those who had faith. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For us to read of those in Christ who have gone on before us and just say, it wasn't a big deal. It's to regard their lives as wasted. Their lives were not wasted. Their lives were of value because they had faith in God. To follow Christ as they have and value that heritage is to honor their example. And say, I want to be like them. I want to be like Moses, who said, I'm not going to value the things of this world. I'm going to follow Christ. I want to be like Noah and say, God, I don't understand all the details, but I'm going to obey you. I want to be like Abraham. Say, God, lead me where you want me to be. God, lead me each day in my life. I don't know the way ahead. I don't know what you're going to bring into my life this year, but God, lead me. I want to be like those people of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have an example. But not only do we have an example, we are an example. Another reason for setting spiritual goals. 1 Timothy 4, 12, Paul says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul challenged Timothy, be an example to others by living a godly life. So Timothy, you are an example to people around you, whether you realize it or not. Others are watching us. We don't want to give someone else an excuse to be less than what God desires for them to be. Because people are looking up to us and say, well, if he's doing it, it must be okay for me to do it. Then let's set him a higher example. Let's set him a higher goal. Another reason we set spiritual goals is because God has great plans for our lives. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. God is speaking to the children of Israel here, and he says, "Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and ye may prosper, prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess." God says, "I have things, I have promises ahead for you. I have something better in store for you, but you've got to obey my words. You've got to follow my commandments." And the reason we set spiritual goals is because God had great plans for us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, God saved us, but he saved us, as Brother Nichols said this morning, he saved us to continue on to serve him. He saved us to do good works for him, to show our love for him. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, says, "In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." God has a great plan ahead for us. God has things he wants to see us accomplish this year with his help. As we look back on this past year, remember the things that we have regretted. Don't allow those things to be a ball and chain to keep you from setting spiritual goals, and with the help of the Holy Spirit to accomplish those goals, to see those goals come to pass. God will give us the grace to do those things. And as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, whole purpose was to strive to meet those goals. First Philippians 3:14, it says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." If we will keep our eyes on Christ, God will keep us on the right path. And again, this is not a focus on self. This is not like, look what I can accomplish. It's what I want to be with God's help. And I want to accomplish this with God's help, realizing I can't accomplish this in my own flesh. I can't do these things in my own strength. But I will set the goal that with God's help, I will do these things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Paul says, "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." Paul was striving for that high calling. What was that calling? It was a calling of God to strive for the glory of God and to pursue all things that God may be glorified in his life. And I trust that that's our desire as well as we look into next year, as we go forward into next year. Say, "God, help me to accomplish things for your glory and for your honor, knowing that you will guide me, knowing that you will give me the grace and the strength to do these things." And we don't know what God's going to bring in our lives this year, but he knows, and he can pave the way for us. He can direct our lives if we'll just submit to his leading. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for the example of many others throughout your word that have set the standard for us that we might follow that. But Father, we thank you especially for the example of Christ. He was our example to follow you, to set goals and to pursue those goals in obedience to you. Father, help us to take the time to consider the days ahead. Father, help us to set spiritual goals for our lives, to allow you to work, allow you to direct us, and allow you to accomplish things through our lives. We thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.